This is Joe Callis, formerly of the Human League and the Rizzillos, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Laura Kunruther of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, April 7th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that it has been over 2 years, and now a third growing season, since New York legalized recreational cannabis. But New Yorkers are still not allowed to grow their own plants. Growing cannabis in gardens won't be legal until after the State Office of Cannabis Management has issued, quote, regulations governing home cultivation of cannabis, which will occur within 18 months of the first adult-use retail sale, unquote. The first legal retail sale was in December, so it could be sometime in 2024 before home growing is legal. Right now, only medical marijuana patients with prescriptions are allowed to legally grow at home, which was allowed last September. Right now, New York has 120,827 registered medical cannabis patients. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Chris Churchill reports in the Times Union that despite an indictment on 34 charges, Representative Elise Stefanik is standing by former President Donald Trump. Stefanik wrote on April 4th that, quote, "The shameful arrest of President Trump is an unprecedented and chilling chapter in the left's weaponization of the justice system against their leading political opponent. Trump will defeat this latest witch hunt," unquote. It is a reverse course for Stefanik, who usually backs the blue and the legal system. Stefanik has previously called for the arrest of former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and often makes reference to, quote, "the Biden crime family," unquote. Stefanik is standing with Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Georgia woman who believes in Jewish space lasers, and George Santos, the serial liar, in backing Trump. Stefanik was among the first congressional representatives to endorse Trump's 2024 election campaign. She now represents Rensselaer County as part of the 21st Congressional District in New York. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Raymond Pignone reports in Columbia Green Media that the Mountaintop Cares Coalition Group in Maple Crest is getting a $150,000 grant from the Foundation for Opioid Response Efforts, a national organization working on the opioid epidemic in the United States. Patrick McGee, executive director of Mountaintop Cares Coalition, said, quote, "This assistance and support of our mission will have a great impact on our ability to provide services to our community. These efforts will help us support our clients," unquote. A 2022 Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report said that overdose fatalities increased by more than 30% from 2019 to 2020. Locally, sheriffs put out warnings repeatedly after local overdoses. The Mountaintop Cares Coalition won one of only 15 grants out of 428 applicants from the Foundation for Opioid Response Efforts. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 49 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 30 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 51 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 28 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Green and Columbia counties.
Support comes from
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
United
by
Airlines, Borders, Books, and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend, and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
publicradio.com. United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising. National Public Radio.
National
Business Radio
comes from
United Airlines,
Borders, Books, and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio. Nonstop Business
Radio.
.com.
Public
Radio.
Nonstop Business.
Underwriting today is provided by Inktomi. That's Inktomi Scaling.
National Public Radio.
And INKTOMI.com.
National Public Radio.
National Public Radio. Soil Amendments and Mulches.com.
National Public Radio.
Well, lots of pretty good news there. Thanks, Joe. That report brought to you by
NationalBusinessRadio.com.
Turn through. I know the nervous walking. I Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We called for you all to ban assault weapons, and you respond with an assault on democracy.
Tennessee State Representative Justin Jones implored fellow lawmakers to listen to the hundreds of students gathered inside the state's capitol demanding action on gun violence. Moments later, the GOP-led House voted to expel Jones for taking part in a student protest following the recent deadly shooting at a Nashville school. Lawmakers said Jones, along with fellow Democrats Gloria Johnson and Justin Pearson, brought dishonor and disorder to the chamber. The group Every Town for Gun Safety says students at more than 300 schools in 42 states walked out of classes this week calling for stricter gun laws, including middle and high school students in Portland, Oregon.
Why have you not taken action? Why do you only care that it should be your right to own a gun? Why do you not care that it should be our right to live?
Students say they will continue to walk out until lawmakers pass meaningful legislation. The Pentagon says it will provide Congress with documents examining the 2021 withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan. Veterans of the war, including Marine Sergeant Tyler Vargas, say the families of 13 American service members killed during the evacuation deserve answers.
The withdrawal was a catastrophe, in my opinion, and there was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence.
Documents from the White House cast blame on the Trump administration for a lack of preparation as well as a drawdown of U.S. troops prior to the withdrawal. In a 2020 documentary, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas says he prefers to travel the back roads of America.
But I come from regular stock, and I prefer that. I prefer being around that.
But documents and interviews obtained by ProPublica show Thomas accepted numerous luxury vacations around the globe for more than two decades from a prominent Republican donor and failed to disclose them. Democratic lawmakers vowed to investigate any alleged misconduct, while others called for Thomas to resign. The Supreme Court has ruled that transgender athletes in West Virginia can compete on female sports teams, at least while a lawsuit over a state ban continues. Meanwhile, schools and colleges would be forbidden from enacting outright bans on transgender athletes under a proposal released from the Biden administration, but teams could create some limits to ensure fairness. If finalized, the proposal would become a provision of the landmark gender equity law, Title IX. A report by the state of Maryland reveals more than 150 Catholic priests and others associated with the Archdiocese of Baltimore sexually abused more than 600 children over 80 years and accused church leaders of decades of cover-ups. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Democracy has had a rough couple of weeks in Texas. Conspiracy-inspired legislation moved forward last week, which changes polling place rules, puts voters on a purge list for not voting, and removes Texas from a program tracking voter registration changes. Last week, the Texas Senate State Affairs Committee endorsed SB 990, which stops residents from being able to vote in any county precinct rather than just their local polling place. While it doesn't restrict voting, it does restrict convenience to out-of-town workers. Under SB 1039, party officials, candidates, judges, and political committees could request an election audit to be conducted. If the audit turns up irregularities, a conservator could be appointed to run the elections. This is a response to 2022's paper shortages and technical problems in liberal Harris County, which spawned fraud allegations, though no fraud has been found. SB 1070 guts a law facilitating an interstate program identifying duplicate voters and registration changes. In reality, it targets ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, the recent victim of conspiracy theories suggesting it's linked to a liberal election fraud plot. Most concerning to voting advocates is SB 260, which puts voters who have not voted in only 25 months on a list to be potentially purged. Most states allow 4 or more years until this step. We have links to legislation and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Tuesday, April 4th, advocates rallied at the Capitol to protest a massive fracked gas pipeline expansion proposed in Greene and Dutchess counties at a time when the world needs to halt the use of fossil fuels to avoid climate collapse. The group called on Governor Hochul to deny a request for a state air facility permit for the Iroquois Pipeline Company's expansion by compression proposal. The decision is due April 11. If approved, the frack gas expansion proposal would increase the volume of gas that is pushed through a 37-year-old pipeline that runs 414 miles from the New York-Canadian border south into Long Island and New York City. The expansion would double the size of polluting frack gas compression stations in Athens and Dover, as well as two more in Connecticut. We hear first from Kim Frazek of Sane Energy Project, the MC for the event. Other speakers were Mary Finneran of Greene County, Charlie Quimby of Concerned Citizens of Dover, Carrie Gardner, who lives near the Athens Compression Station and is a member of the New York Progressive Action Network, and Emily Skyell of Food and Water Watch.
One of the major projects right now happening in New York State is what is called the so-called Iroquois Pipeline. The name Iroquois Pipeline is absolutely irresponsible, absolutely disgusting for them to be naming a extractive fossil fuel pipeline after the Iroquois Nation Confederacy. Bottom line. So right now, the Iroquois Pipeline Company is asking to expand their pipeline that is 37 years old, 414 miles long, that starts in Canada and goes all the way through New York State, Athens and Dover, then enters into the state of Connecticut, underneath the Long Island Sound, and back into the metropolitan area of New York City and Long Island. We say no. They want to expand compressor stations in the towns of Athens and the town of Dover, and then also in Brookfield and Milford, Connecticut. We are here to shut down the New York portion of this pipeline, because if we shut it down here, we shut down the entire expansion project. Governor Kathy Hochul and her Department of Environmental Conservation, yeah. Commissioner Basil Sagos, to deny Iroquois Pipeline Company's request for an Article 19 air facility permit to poison our air. I am going to introduce the Sierra Club. She's from Athens, New York, Mary Finneran.
But I do know that there is evil afoot in Albany. Say National Grid is behind the heinous Parker Barrett bill. Please know they are also one of the two clients. Know that they are one of the two clients for the ill-conceived Iroquois enhancement, more appropriately expansion by compression project. Henceforth, I will say EXC. The other client is Con Ed. The EXC original Iroquois pipeline was built. It incurred the second largest fine from the EPA at the time, next to the Exxon Valdez oil spill, due to its truly shoddy construction. Despite the fine, the pipeline's construction shockingly was never rectified. So to plan to double gas going through such a lousy pipeline is really begging increased GHG and toxic fugitive emissions breaches and worse. But in 2018, in Massachusetts, there was an explosion where 40 homes were destroyed, 130 buildings were seriously damaged, and an 18-year-old young man lost his life. Amazingly, the only death among the in many injuries. The NTSB declared it to be the direct result of a huge increase in gas to an old pipeline. Exactly what the EXC project would do.
You mentioned the EXC project. That stands for expansion by compression. So what's happening on this pipeline is they want to expand, double the size of compressor stations. And what compressor stations do is they take gas from that's flowing in a pipeline, and squeeze it really tight so it builds up a lot of pressure and it pushes it down to the next compressor station down the pipeline. At those compression points, spews out lots and lots of cancer-causing chemicals in the air. And the next person that is going to come up and speak here lives right across the street from the Dover compressor station and, to add insult to injury, the Cricket Valley fracked gas power plant that is majorly invested by multi-billion dollar multinational corporations in the middle of a beautiful rural community that is aching to just focus on farm for their economy. So I would like to bring up Mr. Charles Quimby, who's one of the most extraordinary activists I've ever met.
Over 30 years ago, the Iroquois pipeline ripped through our state and across my town of Dover. They divided farmland, cut through streams and rivers, they broke environmental laws, and disregarded proper and safe construction methods. Their acts were so egregious that Iroquois executives and their subcontractors were brought up on felony charges. They faced a massive fine by the EPA, second largest, only to the horrible and horrific Exxon Valdez oil spill. Iroquois paved the way for environmentally degrading land uses in Dover, including junkyards, landfills, and industrials that contaminated our land and the drinking water at our schools, and leaving a mess of superfunds and polluted sites. Iroquois provided the infrastructure for the next round of devastation to our town. Cricket Valley Energy, the massive fracked gas. The cycle continues, and now Iroquois is coming back for round two in our town of Dover. Many towns and villages that this pipeline runs through are areas of environmental justice concern and disadvantaged communities, including Athens and Dover. We already face high environmental hazards and burdens. Now these same communities are facing another, a dangerous and aging pipeline, where they propose to increase the pressure to near the maximum operating limit. Iroquois destroyed our town, and we are here today to tell them no, not again.
From the New York Progressive Action Network, I have known Carrie for many years. We fought the Spectre pipeline together that's going right near Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant.
Much of Athens is directly downwind of this project and will suffer the worst results of increased gas pressure. We know that even without the planned expansion, people have had health impacts throughout the area because of normal compressor station maintenance. If this plan succeeds, there will be more methane and particulates emitted into the air, further increasing health risks for those living within miles of the compressor station. There is also that the dangers from a possible pipeline breach or worse. We have repeatedly stressed that this project will not provide any advantage to the local community.
That's right.
The footprint of the project will not increase in size, so no new taxes for Athens. The jobs during implementation will be for outside temporary expert workers. The jobs of local residents currently existing for the compressor station will not go away or be replaced. Of course, another huge downside of allowing this project, in addition to health risks, is the increased risk of explosion, which could be catastrophic.
My name is Emily Skydell. I'm a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch. We are a national group working in New York State to stop fracking infrastructure and get us off gas for good. Yeah. We've got 200,000 members in New York State.
Yeah.
That's 200,000 people that don't want fracking infrastructure in our state. That should count for something, Governor Hochul.
Yeah.
Here in New York, despite banning fracking and passing groundbreaking climate legislation, we are still out here fighting the fracking industry as they continue to fight to hold on to their monopoly over our energy. Through applying to build more infrastructure to keep us on the hook, and by pushing legislation like S6030 and A6039, the legislation that would change the regulations and the calculations on methane. Can't even explain it because it's that wonky, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to shove it through and hope that nobody notices. This bill will completely gut the strength of the CLCPA as a mechanism for fighting climate change.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Half of the time I think twice to myself. Am I having the time of my life? Am I too much for you and hardly anyone to me? Am I only here half of the time? I'm half off today, can you turn me all on? Do you have a half life of your own? And if you say it's true, I do. Do you think that maybe we could make one out of two? Well, let me check back with the mirror. I'll try and pull myself together. Oh, I must say I feel like I'm coming undone. Will two halves make a door? Will we fall through the floor? Or take away one and get the lonesome? The moon is half empty, oh, the sun is too bright. How do you stand all the light? We're all overdone, having so much sun. They've hidden the night from us. Are you half off today? Can I turn you all on? Do you have a half life of your very own? You say it's true, I do. Do you think that maybe we could make one out of two? Would it ever do?
That was Columbia County musician Elvis Perkins with his 2020 song, The Half-Life.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE News Update.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that State Supreme Court Justice Thomas Marcel indicated April 5th he is considering splitting the trial of four defendants charged with a felony count of unlawful imprisonment in the beating of Columbia County resident Harold Handy. Columbia County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Rosenstrach, her husband, gym owner Alex Rosenstrach, IRS agent Brian Hang, and local contractor Corey Gaylord allegedly beat Handy at a 2020 party at the Rosenstrach residence in Kinderhook that was attended by several local law enforcement officers. The four were first indicted on gang assault charges, but Judge Richard Kowiek dismissed those charges in late 2021. Jury selection was scheduled to begin last November when news that Handy's civil attorney and a civil attorney for at least one of the defendants had discussed a settlement condition on the defendants not being indicted. But Handy may not have known about those lawyer negotiations. On April 5th, the new judge in the case, Marcel, said he would allow defense attorneys to ask Handy in court whether he had been aware of the alleged talks. The answer to that question may determine if there is just one trial or if it is split in two between the Rosenstrach and Haig and Gaylord. Marcel also said he would consider dropping all the charges against the four defendants. Handy was beaten nearly to death. The judge said lawyers have until April 14th to make arguments for or against dismissal of the charges. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mary Dempsey reports in Columbia Green Media that there were more student fights at Hudson Junior Senior High School on April 4th. Police were arriving at the school for another matter and came upon students fighting. School officials did not reveal any details of the fight or any disciplinary actions. There have been several reports of fights at the school recently. Hudson Superintendent of Schools Lisa Marie Spindler made a statement asking for parents to stop the repeated violence at the school, saying, and I quote, "I have urged parents and guardians to speak with their students about the importance of proper behavior, of abiding by staff directions, and of exercising appropriate judgment to avoid escalating inappropriate incidents. I also urge them to monitor their children's social media use and to talk with them about appropriate behavior on and in response to social media channels," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Liz Montgomery reports of Porcupine Soup that on April 3rd, the town of Cairo voted to approve a visit from National Park Service to the town's 387-million-year-old fossil forest in an effort to get it listed as a national natural landmark. The fossil forest is an extensive root system of trees that existed during the Devonian period millions of years ago. In 2019, a group of scientists from Binghamton University, the New York State Museum, and Cardiff University said it was the oldest fossil forest on the planet. Right now, the former sandstone quarry behind the town's highway department is not open to the public. Sylvia Hassenkopf, president of the Cairo Historical Society, discussed how long it might take for the forest to be named a national natural landmark, saying, and I quote, "It has been my experience in working with the National Parks Program that the collection of information, the preparation of the designation packet, and the presentation to the review board takes 2 to 3 years once the process has begun in earnest," end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Nancy Curran reports for Columbia Green Media that the New York State Thruway Authority holds a public information meeting April 18th at the Robert C. Antonelli Senior Center in Catskill to discuss their plans to replace a quarter-scale road bridge at I-87 next year. An April 5th statement from the authority said, and I quote, "The existing structure will be replaced with a new bridge featuring increased vertical clearance, safety guardrail, snow fencing, and a new riding surface. Approximately 870 vehicles per day travel over the Cortisco Road Bridge," end quote. The work replacing the 68-year-old bridge will cause substantial detours. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. A reversal in the historic population decline outside of metro areas. At least for now, the rural exodus of the last decade has stopped, and there is a slight uptick. The U.S. Census Bureau credits migration domestically plus international immigration. But those gains were tempered because deaths in rural America outnumbered births. Daily Yonder reporter Sarah Malott explains the reversal.
There's some recent survey data from other regional sources that suggest that remote work is a big motivator for people relocating from cities into more rural areas since the pandemic years.
The number of people living in rural counties grew by 56,000 from 2021 to 2022. Malott notes, however, rural counties located farthest from cities did not grow.
The remote counties actually lost a little bit of population, while those that are closest to the cities gained a little bit over the past year.
Mayors go en masse to Washington, D.C. annually to strategize about federal policies that shape local governments. It's the National League of Cities Congressional City Conference. The gathering is especially important for small communities because discussions take place on some of the most pressing issues they face. Danielle Smith reports, talking with one local leader who attended.
Cave City Mayor Jonas Anderson says federal funding from the American Rescue Plan Act is being put to use at home in Cave City.
We were able to utilize those funds to make some major improvements in our water and sewer system. So we've actually been doing that the last couple of years. We just wrapped up one project on that. We're looking forward to doing another one this summer.
The American Rescue Plan Act allocated nearly $2.6 billion to Arkansas for COVID-19 response needs, fill revenue shortfalls, and address the unequal impact of the pandemic on certain populations. I'm Danielle Smith.
Almost half of new stores opened last year were chain dollar stores, and watchdogs are sounding the alarm. They say the popular stores are one more nail in the coffin for local merchants, according to research by the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. The problem is the need is there, says Scott Costell, mayor of Springfield, South Dakota, population 2,000.
A lot of folks want to shop close to home for those things that you just want to run out for.
The chains claim no one else wants to invest in these communities. The Institute report says the chains actually drive other retailers out of business and extract wealth from local economies. Mayor Costell wants more engagement from the chains in the community's financial well-being by supporting local enterprise and joining the Chamber of Commerce.
Those are very much integral to a small community's survival and how well our quality of life is going to be.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
You can't chat so much. You can't run up your mouth. You can't do DJ.
No higher.
Well, shut up, make I do I think.
Galang, you the pan top.
Hold the lip. Don't stop, listen. Here is a hot tip as I will tell it to you, you know. Take a sip and take a dip. Hey! We are going on the musical trip as I will tell it to you. Oh, we're gonna tell you about this. We'll be right back. Hold the lip and stop glassing. Here is a hot tip.
That was Rubba Rubba Words from the Upsetters' 1973 album Blackboard Jungle Dub.
Just sit right back and you hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing lad, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour.
begins, Ireland.
Well, that just happened. That smoosh up was created by Little Roger and the Goosebumps back in 1978.
As soon as we start.
It's smartphone to compute. 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 It's smartphone to compute.